The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is That's a Laugh. For the next half hour, I'll be reading excerpts of funny stories, quotes, and other anecdotes from various sources that we hope will add a few chuckles to your day. My dear listeners, welcome back to our two-part series on the secret to living in peace and harmony with cats, a.k.a. How to Be Trained by Your Cat. For part two, we'll dive deep into the differences between cats and humans, learning exactly what the role of humans is, as well as take a quiz on what we've learned so far. I hope you've been taking notes. Let's return to the book, The Cat's in Charge, Kitty's Manual for Training Humans to Accept Cat Leadership, copyright 2015, written by Mary S. Frederick. Kind of. Today we start with the chapter, Differences Between Cats and Humans. Needless to say, cats and humans are different beings in many ways. Humans are larger, of course, and they live longer. Longevity is probably the human's only superiority, although their life expectancy is problematical, as cats are said to have 9 lives, where humans have only 1. Ever hear of a human having 9 lives? I thought not. Down to the specifics. Cats are both more beautiful and intelligent than humans. Cats' voices are more melodious than human voices, and cats are more agile than humans. And then there are whiskers. Human whiskers do not even begin to compare with a cat's. Human whiskers have absolutely no balance to their arrangement. Female humans don't even have any whiskers. In contrast, the cat has several pairs of whiskers symmetrically arranged on either side of her head. She has other whiskers as well, above her eyes and also on her legs, but the ones on her face are most easily compared to the human whiskers. In addition, the cat has multiple uses for her whiskers, such as measurement and sensory perception, while the human's whiskers are merely an adornment and not a very attractive one at that. All in all, just taking into account a cat's whiskers and nothing else, the cat is far superior to the human. Taking into account all other qualities displayed by humans and cats, it isn't even a contest for who is best overall. So far, we have compared only physical attributes of cats and humans. Behavioral attributes are next. We will start with the humans, judging from the point of view of the cat, which, of course, is what matters. Later, we will discuss how cats should behave toward their humans so that humans are trained properly. Understanding human behavior. Humans come in both sexes and in all sizes and ages. In most cases, it is not possible to generalize human behavior according to these factors. For example, both male and female humans may be amenable to the cat's instructions, or they may not. The same is true for every size of human, and usually in respect to age. However, from the cat's perspective, it is usually best to beware of very young humans, as they have not been trained yet about the special nature of the cat. Human babies and children are very noisy, and some have a propensity for pulling tails and trying to carry the cat around by her stomach. For that reason, I recommend staying out of the way of very young humans until they are able to be trained properly. Usually, They must have a few years on them so they can understand the importance of the cat's commands. That being said, except for treating young humans especially carefully, I usually go by the general principle that, at the beginning, a cat should treat all humans politely. You don't bother them, and they don't bother you. However, it is absolutely imperative that from the moment you actually interact with a human of any age or size, you begin to subtly teach her to obey the first principle of people training. And that is, of course, that the cat is in charge, and that the cat's needs must come first. Human purpose in life. Humans must understand that their purpose in life must be to provide for the cat's health and comfort. Primary cat's needs are food and water, bed, litter box. After this come some other comforts that humans may need to be nudged to provide. Some of these are treats, high places to look down from, warm places for naps, windows to look out of, places to hide when caution is necessary, toys to have fun with. I will mention these comforts as I describe how the cat must treat humans in order to make sure the comforts are provided. For now, let us explore briefly the cat's role in seeing to it that the humans fulfill their purpose. Getting necessities from humans. You may well ask, what do you do if humans do not provide the necessary comforts? Or if they do not provide these comforts to the degree desired? For the necessity food, there is not much you can do but scrounge for it if it is not provided. Happily, for domesticated cats, food is not usually a problem, nor is water. Sometimes humans do not provide food fast enough, and it is necessary to meow loudly to get their attention. If you are used to eating early in the morning, you may have to make your presence known repeatedly to get your human out of bed. Some humans are crabby about this, but they get used to it. Water is usually not a problem either. Humans provide your water in your dish. Many cats like to get their water out of a faucet, though, and this may take some doing. Some humans think it is unsanitary for cats to drink out of faucets. If your human feels this way, you can always go sit on the sink until she changes her mind. Do this repeatedly until your human gives up. Persistence saves the day. There are times when a proper bed is not provided, but you can usually find one if one is not supplied. If you want a special cat bed made of soft or fuzzy material, you may be able to get one by sleeping on your human's clothes when they lay them down somewhere. This is a good hint to them that the cat wants a bed of her own. Often, there are other beds in the house where you can sleep. For instance, a chair, or the human's bed or pillow, or a basket of warm clothes out of the dryer. Sometimes humans are a little testy about your sleeping on their pillows. I usually tell cats to persist if it is important to them. Eventually, you will find some place to sleep that you like. If your human doesn't like it, she will usually provide something comparable. If not, well, one must improvise. All in all, I urge you to persist in getting the necessities to your liking, unless your human shows signs of cracking from the strain. If that happens, there are several possibilities for things you can do. These will be described later. Before finishing this section on necessities, however, I must touch briefly on the litter box. The litter box is the cat's bathroom. your humans should keep it scrupulously clean. In return for humans performing their daily latrine duty, the cat should be sure not to deposit anything outside the box. I hesitate to say this, but humans can become irrational if even a little bit of the cat's waste appears outside the box. When humans become irrational, it is not good for the cat. Therefore, in just this one thing, cats should try to comply with the human's wishes. As long as the human does her job, you do yours. Now, if the human falls down on the job, well, it does not bear thinking about. Facing human recalcitrance. Unfortunately, there are times when, despite the cat's near-perfect use of techniques, the human does not respond properly. Sadly, a human may even lose her temper, yell at the cat, or show some other inappropriate behavior. How often this happens depends on the human. If the human is a reasonable being, it will happen rarely. During these times of human recalcitrance, the cat has no choice but to regroup and reassess the situation. The following procedures may be tried. Act sad and woebegone, as if you are being treated badly. Retry cuddling up to your human and purr, ingratiate yourself. Hide for a while and continue later when the human has recovered better temper. This last procedure should be used sparingly. You don't want your human to think she has won. Still, you can't reason with a misbehaving human. It is important to use caution when a human has lost control. Behaving naturally. Cats have special natural qualities that other species either do not have or have in short supply. These qualities reveal the cat's mystique. There are times that, for one reason or another, a human may think cats should suppress these natural traits. I say to cats, do not tolerate this. The cat must be able to express herself according to her natural urges. Here are three qualities I am talking about: curiosity, aversion to change, and territorial integrity and ownership. Humans, read these sections carefully. Curiosity. All cats are curious. The world is there to be explored. The cat must not be kept from exploring the world. If an open door means we can go through it, a closed door is an effrontery. If a door is closed, we are essentially being told that there is an area we can't explore. Why would a human think this is acceptable? The best thing for the human to do is not to build doors. Simply leave the area open so that the cat can go in and out at will. Which brings me to the subject of kitchen cabinets and doors. Doors to these areas should be left open at all times, if possible. And if not possible, as long as the cat wants to go back and forth through them. If the human lets the door close while the cat is inside a cabinet or closet, the cat could be in danger of being trapped inside. This would at the very least be seriously annoying to the cat. The human must allow the cat to explore as long as she wishes and come out of the enclosure before the human closes the door. Opposition to change. If a cat is curious, can she also be cautious? The answer is yes, in special cases, when caution is associated with another very important quality of the cat, being opposed to change. We cats do not like things to change. A cat knows unequivocally that there is no reason to change anything once it is established. Not the cat's food, the kind of litter in the litter box, where she is allowed to go or sleep, meal times, anything. Humans, remember this. Repeat it to yourselves. Cats do not like change. For example, let us say that the human decides to give the cat a new food in her dish. I am not talking about a new flavor, but a new food with a brand new texture and taste. The human must be careful about making such a change. She should expect her cat to be cautious about accepting the new food. Maybe the cat will never accept it at all, and this will be the result of the human's tampering with the cat's psyche. I say to humans absolutely, never change anything having to do with your cat suddenly, and if possible, never change it at all. If you do, you must be willing to deal with the consequences that ensue. Territorial integrity and ownership. Cats have a natural tendency to live in particular areas. This is called being territorial. If there are multiple cats in the home, this territory may be divided up among them according to the inhabiting cat's wishes. Similarly, cats own their own food and dishes and litter boxes. Other cats do not intrude on a cat's property or territory. In addition, there is often a top cat in the household. Humans must respect this designation. Occasionally, a naive human may unknowingly incite her cats to have problems because she has interfered with the natural ways that cats have set up with each other. Many humans want all cats to be treated democratically, as if they are living by human rules. Humans, listen up. Cats are cats, not humans. The cat psyche is inviolate. Special humans. Veterinarians. Veterinarians are humans with special powers, powers that mysteriously relate to a cat's well-being. Usually, the human takes the cat to the veterinarian once a year, where certain measures take place, which are sometimes uncomfortable for the cat. Other times, a visit to the veterinarian occurs because the cat is ill. In these cases, the cat usually gets well after she returns home. Therefore, since these visits seem to be necessary for the cat's health and well-being, veterinarians must be tolerated. That is not to say, however, that the cat must enjoy their company or suffer being transported where they do not want to go without complaint. When the cat senses she is about to be taken to the veterinarian, and usually she does, she must convey to her human that she is displeased. It is a good idea to hide under the bed or somewhere the human will have a problem dislodging you. This will teach the human that the cat is tolerating the human's gross disregard of the cat's feelings because it is absolutely necessary, and further, similar transgressions by the human will be viewed with displeasure. Visitors. Visitors are humans, not part of a cat's immediate family, who enter a cat's domain and, while they are in it, interact with the cat or cats and humans in the household. These visitors may be family members or friends of the cat's humans, or they could be humans who are doing maintenance on the cat's abode. I recommend that all these humans be treated with suspicion at first, until the cat has had a chance to determine if they are acceptable. Quite often, this can be done quickly. A cat can usually sense if the visitor is a cat lover or not. If she is a cat lover, she should be welcomed. If she is not, she should be shunned. If, for some reason, the cat cannot determine the authenticity of said visiting human's cat-loving qualities, the cat should maintain a watchful attitude and pronounce her verdict later. There are a few humans that pretend to be cat lovers in order to ingratiate themselves with the cat's humans and do not show their true colors until later. These humans should be rejected as soon as the cat determines their true nature. Human beings, are they worth it? If you have read this far in the book, you may have come to the conclusion that I, your author, have reservations about whether having humans in your life is advantageous. I understand your coming to such a conclusion, for I have clearly shown how greatly inferior humans are to cats. One could conclude from this that humans are not worth the bother of training. Nothing could be further from the truth. Humans are actually a very pleasant species, and cats frequently become very attached to them. Most humans try very hard to do what the cats tell them, and both species, cats and humans, find their lives enriched by their mutual interactions. So I say to cats, go ahead and use your superior powers to help your humans understand their purpose in life, putting their cat first. Once they realize that the cat is in charge, all will be well. Quiz. Here is a short quiz for all cats and humans who have read this book. It is multiple choice. Answers are given at the end. 1. Who is in charge of daily routine in the home where there are both humans and cats? A. Cats. B. Humans. 2. Which creature is more intelligent? A. The cat. B. The human. 3. Which creature has the more attractive features? A. The cat. B. The human. Answers. 1. A. Cats. 2. A. The cat. 3. A. The cat. If you got all three questions right, congratulations. If not, do not despair. This means you are probably a human and need a little extra instruction. Read this book again, and I am sure you will succeed when you take the quiz a second time. The end. Best wishes to all. Kitty the Cat. So, now we have the scoop, but not literally, on cats. To close out our special series, another excerpt from the chapter, The ABCs of Cats. C. Cat. The most beautiful, intelligent creature in the world, regarded by all humans and animals as superior. Claws. Sharp, pointed nails on the cat's toes, useful for digging, gripping, and protection. Humans have nails as well, albeit inferior ones. Dog. A creature often kept as a pet by humans. Not a bad sort, but vastly inferior to cats. Dogs can, in some cases, become friends of the cat, as long as they don't try to supplant the cat in the household. F. Fish. Strange, slippery creatures that live in water. Humans frequently put them in big tanks so that they can provide entertainment for the cat. Any other worth is a mystery. H. Human. A large, reasonably intelligent creature that, when properly trained, can provide a suitable companion for a cat. I. Intelligence. Cleverness. Astuteness. A quality exhibited in abundance by cats. other creatures also have it, but not nearly to the extent shown by cats. L. Leash. A long piece of string fastened to a cat's collar, used to take the cat for a walk. Cats can decide for themselves if they want the leash to be used, as, unlike dogs, most cats like to be unfettered. If the cat condescends to be walked on the leash, humans must understand that the cat will be the one to decide where to walk and when to rest, and when to end the walk altogether. N. Naughty. Word used by humans to describe a cat who has not obeyed the human's commands. Cats should not be disturbed by this designation, as cats are not supposed to obey human commands. R. Rocking chair. Poorly constructed chair set on pieces of curved wood that move the chair back and forth in a rocking motion. Cats, watch your tails around these chairs. They are dangerous to your well-being. Rodent. A class of small creatures that are prey for cats. These include mice, rats, gerbils, hamsters, and squirrels, among others. These creatures should not be allowed in the cat's home. If a cat should catch one of these creatures, she may wish to victoriously present it to a human. Cats resist this impulse. This inexplicably freaks humans out. Rug. A mat made of cloth or fiber covering the floor. The fiber often has loops in it that catch the cat's claws. Cats can, if they wish, sharpen her claws by scratching the rug, although humans frown on this practice. A satisfactory substitute for the rug is the scratching post. I say to cats, if you would like a scratching post, first try using the rug to sharpen your claws. This will entice your human to provide the post. T. Treat. Special food tidbit for the cat. Humans should be encouraged to supply treats as often as the cat wants them. We've run out of time for today's episode of That's a Laugh. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please be sure to listen next time. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. That's a Laugh is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Are you enjoying the show? Do you have any humorous quotes or authors you'd like to share? We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments about this or any other NCRS shows, please call us at 919-832-5138. Our number one more time is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.